The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take her soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Okay, I'm so excited to be here on Get Real Podcast with Sarah Beth Tate.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm so glad you're here. I brought Ruby. For you.
Yeah, Ruby.
My dog.
Ruby's just chilling.
And you also have a Cavapoo.
I do. I did not know that we were bringing Cavapoos today.
Yeah.
Or I would have...
Brought yours?
I would have brought her.
Franny?
Franny.
You know, that's like one of my favorite names. Franny? You have to be adorable when your name is Franny.
Yeah, we actually, a few times, we'll like say, oh, this is Franny. And somebody's like, my... Like, sister's name is Franny, or my daughter's name is Franny. And we're like, well, she's basically a person, so that fits.
It totally, totally fits.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sarah Beth, I am really excited about your story because, first off, you moved to Nashville when you were 16?
17.
17.
Yeah.
Did your mom come with you? Did you live by yourself?
She dropped me off.
You lived by yourself at 17?
Yes.
My gosh, were you so scared?
I did. I was crazy. I was crazy.
So you just had to get here as fast as you could.
Yes.
You're just going hard to Nashville as soon as it made sense.
I graduated a semester early from high school and I drove from Colorado in my Chevy Silverado. Which,
by the way, follow you on TikTok, Sarah Beth Tate on TikTok. You're so adorable. I saw the truck video where you sold your first truck that your dad bought you.
You really dug deep. I love this.
I like to know somebody.
Okay. I was sobbing when I sold that truck. Like, I could not get a hold of myself. The people who bought it from me were like, are you okay? Like, we don't have to buy it. I was like, no, I need to sell it. But
you're like, my first kiss was in here, yeah. My first dates, yeah. My first heartbreak. And then you're like, these people don't even know all the memories they're getting when they buy this truck.
Exactly.
You're really good at TikTok because you like evoke my emotions.
Thank you. So, crying on camera will apparently do that. I drove that truck when I was 17, the 2 days it took us to get from Colorado to Nashville. And I did have a roommate, so I moved in with a roommate, but I did not go to college. My sweet parents dropped me off and let me.
Where did you live?
Chase the dream. I lived off of West End.
So you had a place set up and everything?
Yeah. And you found just a roommate on like Facebook?
Oh my gosh.
I think is where we met, maybe.
I'm so nervous. I feel so nervous.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine letting my daughter.
Yeah, because you got one.
Yes.
You got a daughter now.
I just cannot. I'm like, wow. Okay, I have a lot of letting go to do before we're there.
That's a good song. Look at you writing songs like all the time. Okay, Ruby's hopping down. Maddie, she's your dog. Okay, Ruby came on the podcast before with Dr. Josie, which is secret and is not out, so we won't talk about that. But she did great on the podcast, but now she's grown up a couple months and she's born to be wild. So, bye, Rubes. Yeah, I mean, just to like get dropped off that young in a big city to chase your big dream.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I remember... It's so funny because for the most part, I'm like, yeah, I was so brave and like knew what I wanted. And I was so, I had like beginner's like confidence, like irrational confidence, you know? But I do remember that first night going to bed and being like, what have I done? I was like, wait, what have I done? I need to go back to Colorado right now. Which, you know, I got through it. The first year was like a little rough.
What was it like that transition year? Because I remember these feelings so vividly and they're hard to describe when you're literally like busting out of one mold that you've known your whole life and stepping into a whole new mold and everything's new and you're like having to like find your way and like your feelings are all disrupted, you know?
That's a great way of describing it. And two, it was so hard. I think college gives you like a built-in group of, it gives you a built-in community of people who are all in the same phase of life as you. And I had a publishing deal at the time. I was working jobs. I didn't want to spend money on a degree that I wasn't going to use. So I'm still proud of that choice, but I did miss out on the friend group. And so I think I felt a little bit like, where are my people? How am I going to meet my people? And so I kind of did a lot of like floating in that, and that was hard because
that's hard. Were you a floater before?
I was a little bit.
You were?
Yeah.
Like back in your day, how'd you float? Like in high school, you were a little floaty?
Well, I was in a tight group in middle school, and then in high school, I just kind of started doing my own thing with music. Mm-hmm. And I came to Nashville for the first time, and I was just a little, like slightly bit removed because I was so focused on what I wanted to do. I was like so.
You're just like, listen.
My mind was out of high school. I was like, I just want to get this over with.
Yeah. And you're like, not worried about the pep rally. You're like, how am I going to get to Nashville and write my first single?
Exactly.
I got to get there yesterday.
Yes, exactly. So I think it was like that for me for a while as a teenager. So yeah, I think when I got here, I think I started feeling that like, wait, I really need a community and I had a solid group of people that I worked with that were a lot older than me, that were mentors to me. And really, I think that's part of why my parents were comfortable dropping me off was my publishers at the time. And I mean, everybody that I worked with was really a strong like role model for me. And I worked with a lot of women who took care of me here.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
great.
That was huge. But it wasn't people my age, you know, going through exactly what I was going through. So that was a journey.
Yeah.
But I actually met my husband when I'd only been here for about a year, maybe a little over a year, when I met him at church. So that was a blessing.
Okay. And it was a big church. And I love the story about this. So had you had a heartbreak before? Because you wrote like a heartbreak song that went viral.
Oh yeah. I mean, plenty of heartbreaks before.
But you weren't that old to have a big heartbreak.
I was not that old, but you know.
So how old were you? You were 17 when you met your husband. So you'd already.
No, I was 18.
18.
18 when I met him. I was like going on 19 by the time I met him.
Okay. So, but you'd already had a full heartbreak before?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had one of those kind of long time boyfriends throughout high school. So I had kind of the one
on and off forever,
quote unquote, serious, like
for years. You know. Yeah.
Not serious, but it felt at the time.
Right. Most serious thing you've ever experienced.
Yes. And that kind of carried over a little bit into me living in Nashville. He was in Colorado and I kind of had that going like on and off toxic thing for a little bit. Mm. And anyways, got over that. So that's where some of those songs come from.
Okay, and that first song that went viral was called?
Yes, Long Way.
Long Way. And talk to me about that one. And then I want to talk about your husband because I feel like this next song that went viral was, you just released it last year.
Yep, right on time.
Right on time. That's about your husband and, yes, like getting married before you thought you were ready, having a baby before you were thought you were ready, mm-hmm, which I love all that. Oh, thank you so much. But so yeah, let's talk about the first song that went viral though and how that happened and what it's like to go viral on TikTok.
Okay, it was like surreal because this was 2020. It was before we all really even knew what TikTok was.
Okay, so you were in the beginning.
Yes, we're in the beginning. I think COVID had just, I think we were like, you know, in my husband and I were in this tiny little condo together, like obviously not married at the time, but we were just bored with nothing else to do. And he is always ahead of the game.
Your husband is.
Yes. Oh, he knows like just pop culture. He's just in the know. Like
he's adorable.
Is he
like the happiest person to live?
He really is.
I feel like he is.
So he goes, babe, you got to get on TikTok. And I was like, I don't know what TikTok is. And all I know that it's people dancing and I don't dance. And he's like, no, people, there's all these songs on TikTok and yours are better. So I think that you should just get a TikTok. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So he literally coaches me. He's like helping me set up the account. Stop. And I was posting, I mean, cover songs and a bunch of different stuff up until, 2020, I think it was spring or summer of 2020. And he's like, we got to just start, because we listen to all these demos. You know this. There's so many songs where you listen in your car to your own demo on repeat, mm-hmm, and nobody ever hears it.
Right. And then they just die a sad, lonely, yes, death. And they were such a great song.
Exactly. In your mind, you're like, that was a stadium anthem.
Great. Yeah. Exactly. And no one ever hears it.
Exactly. And it was really at the beginning of people sharing those demos. Okay. It was really like, oh, you know, I think I'd seen Priscilla Block post a song that was going crazy. I'd seen a few of these people start getting traction from posting their demos that didn't have to be all like shined up and perfect and pretty and like ready to go. Exactly. And so I was like, I can do that. And I have all these songs that I love. And Long Way, I had written Long Way, I think maybe 2 years before. And I thought, well, this is one I love. And I posted a clip of it and it started going crazy.
Like,
and
the first one you posted went crazy?
The first one I posted.
Is that abnormal?
I mean, I don't even remember the numbers on it either. So like it was crazy to me. Who knows if it was, but I mean, it was like 100,000 likes and going.
You got like 100,000 followers overnight, right?
Yes. Like overnight.
Is that what happens? People just like find it and they're like, oh my God, I'm crazy about this.
So this was a phase, I will say, I feel like that beginning stage of TikTok where we all were finding it and everybody was at home and, you know, didn't have anything to do. It was like people were so excited to be finding music and people were so excited to be finding artists on there for the first time. Okay. And so I think there was
like a moment, like a golden moment.
Yes. I do think it's different now because we're so saturated in that market, but it was really exciting because people were just so genuinely excited to hear something that they loved. And I was excited that they had found it. And so it just really kind of kept going. And then I had to figure out how to get the song out.
Oh, so yeah. What do you do?
I mean, it's this demo that I've had for 2 years and I had to re-record it. And so I think it ended up being about 3 months between the time that it kind of started popping off to when we released it. And I was so worried because I thought this was, you know, one viral video. And by the time I get the song out 3 months from now, it's not gonna matter. Nobody's gonna care. It's not gonna hit anymore. And every single video I posted just kept connecting, like over and over and over again.
Why do you think it was connecting? Because you were so honest and real and just sharing your heart.
I think there's something.
And you're
about
so beautiful. Like I just like to look at your face. Like when you talk, I'm just like watching your lips. I'm like, what lip gloss are you wearing? It looks so good.
It's like rubbing off and looking but ratty. I mean, but thank you.
You are a really pretty face to look at. And thank then you have so much else to say and sing. I'm like, I'm engaged.
Thank you. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
So you genuinely like the communication with TikTok,
yes,
the world.
So like it was so, I had been in this world of trying to make it in the music industry where, you know, we're singing in a meeting for a 50-year-old man in a suit who's like giving us nothing. You know, it's like there's no, even if somebody loves it one day and wants to give you this deal or that deal or whatever, it's like, there's not the same excitement as when people just find something that they like listening to. Really, it's all that matters. I mean, we're all just trying to get to
people listening,
people who care,
and connecting.
People, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was finally a way to go, oh, we just skipped like
all the gatekeepers,
all of the unnecessary steps to just actually do what matters. And I
and
think
it's connecting,
yes.
And I don't have to do this song and dance.
Exactly.
And you can, if it makes sense sometimes, but you don't have to like go chase that down.
Exactly. And I think, you know, there's something about that song that is empowering. I think a lot of people who I wrote that song coming off of a breakup. And I think for whatever reason, anybody who was in that moment felt the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it just really resonated. And I was so grateful that TikTok was a thing. I mean, I know it's a love hate relationship. Everybody has with it.
Do you have a love hate relationship? I feel like you're pretty good at loving it.
I'm pretty good at loving it because
I think that's why it's working so well too. Cause I have a true love hate / more hate than love relationship, but I'm like trying to make myself love it. Mm-hmm. Like today, actually I was watching you all night and I was like, Ann Morgan, my president, I was watching both of y'all and I'm like, dang it, they just post their life and it's so interesting and they just talk about stuff and they share things. I'm like, get up and post about your morning, Caroline. Just do it. Just post it. Show your hamster. Make some coffee.
Yes.
Pack a lunch. Document it. But
your
I'm
hamster.
Like, oh my God, this is so hard for me.
We need to see the hamster.
Lemonade.
We really do.
Lemonade. She's on my Instagram story. I'm trying. But like to me, it's hard. But like for you, I'm like, you're so joyful
and
adorable about it.
It is hard to like keep up with it, I will say.
It's like a full-time real estate in your brain. Like you have all these things you have to manage, plus there's a spot that's like, social media, got to do
and
that
also,
too.
And also post about it.
And post, like starting the second you wake up all the way through your whole day, it's just so much. Okay, I digress, go ahead.
It is so much. Well, I think that is my twinge of hate for it is like, oh my gosh, we all feel like we have to, and I think, feeling like we have to present a certain way.
Yes.
It's overwhelming at times, but I think I just don't post on those days.
Can you take a day off or do they get mad at you?
No, I've given myself, oh no, I'm not to the point where people are mad at me for not posting. Like,
cause I have some friends who are like hardcore influencers and they have to like explain when they're leaving and they have to let people know when they're taking a break because like you have an agenda.
Yeah, kinda. No, see, I'm not at that level.
Okay.
And maybe I don't want to be. Like, I've given myself the grace to be like, you know.
Today's an off day.
Today is a get through the day and, you know, put in some dry shampoo, eat a snack, and, you know, just get through your life today and don't worry about posting about it.
Well, you're really great at it. And honestly, like, when I was watching you obsessively, I was like, dang it. I like this. Like, it's so fun to watch you. Like, I'm appreciative that you're doing all this hard work and posting because you're adorable and your husband's adorable and your daughter's adorable. And I love that you moved to Nashville when you're 17 and you've never had a record deal and any major deal. And yet now here you are making it and having your music being heard. And you got to quit your job. And I'm like, I like your story and I'm so glad you're posting it.
Thank you.
But it's a lot of work. But anyway, okay, but it resonates. So people are like, oh my gosh, I'm with you. I see you. The song speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Your singing voice is so pretty too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I think I just got to the point where it's funny that you mentioned me quitting my job too, because I moved to town. I had a publishing deal at the time, but I only had that for the first couple years that I lived here. And then that deal timed out and I've had management for a while, but like you said, no record deal, no major publishing deals. No, I've been an independent artist this whole time.
Was that ever frustrating pre-TikTok?
Absolutely. No, it's frustrating. I would say, honestly, up in the last year or so of my life, I have fully embraced and just enjoyed the fact that I just don't need that
anymore
the way that I used to need that. I used to just always mark success off of when can I get a record deal and when can I get the next publishing deal. And then I just realized that I don't
need that.
That's not success to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked a lot of jobs going through I mean, leading up to really having my daughter, I was working babysitting jobs. I had an admin job at a wealth management firm that I worked for like 6 years.
Was that fun?
No. I loved the people that I worked with, but I started that job.
Do you learn a lot about investing? So yes. When you get all this money, you're going to know what to do with
yes,
it.
Yes, I did.
Because it's and all
I,
flowing in now.
Yes. I start. Oh, it's. Listen,
well, you got to quit your job because you're making streaming money. That's legit.
It is. It's very cool.
I mean, that's cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. And I had done that for so long that it was so, I mean, it's just all these things that you work so hard and
you're
just
writing songs in the midst of all these jobs.
Yes.
How did you get your first publishing deal? Where did that come from? Was that pre-moving to Nashville, or did you get it when you got here?
No, I got my first publishing deal when I was 14.
That helped move you up here? Oh, when you're 14.
Wow. Yeah.
Cat Gravitt?
No, Cat Gravitt was my second publishing deal.
And who else was with her?
Kai Fleming.
I love Kai.
I love them both
Kai
so much.
Kai is my favorite. She loves Abraham Hicks. And yes. I have gone to an Abraham Hicks convention, and it is amazing. And I've talked to Kai all about Abraham Hicks. And hold on. We got an intersection. Yes, Morgan. That is a great question. We would like to know, Morgan in the back says, Morgan, the president over there.
Gallery.
Our president. Yes, the Peanut Gallery. Actually, the Ruby Gallery. How's Ruby? Great. Ruby's doing great, everyone. Okay. How does a 14-year-old, this is a great question, mm-hmm. get a publishing deal?
I would love to know.
How did they even know? How did they find you? How did you find them?
I was delusional. I came to Nashville for the first time ever on a flight with my dad, and I was 14. It was for my 14th birthday.
Okay.
And I had looked up NSAI.
You have big birthdays, because like your 23rd birthday, you went number one on all iTunes across the board.
Birthdays must be a
birthdays
thing
are
for
good
me.
For you in music.
Yeah, so I went to an NSAI conference. It was called a Songposium.
Which is a National Songwriter Association Incorporated.
Yeah.
I made that last part up.
And they're incredible. You guessed. It was good. So they're incredible, and they do a lot to educate, really. I mean, it was a bunch of classes taught by publishers, taught by label executives, and you were on Music Row going in to learn about the music business. And I thought, well, that's a really good place to start because I really don't know anything.
And here's a bunch of songwriters and publishers.
Exactly.
Who know all the things.
But I knew that I wanted a publishing. I mean, I knew I wanted a publishing deal because I wanted to be a writer.
So you knew that existed.
Yes. And my parents were like, what's a publishing deal? And I'm like, well, I'm going to go. If you'll let me, I'm going to do this, this, and this for my birthday. And they were like, okay.
She's fly to Nashville.
They're looking at each other like, she seems to know what she wants to do. My parents aren't musical at all.
Had you researched this online? You just figured
it
out?
Yes. I was all over it. Like, I thought I knew everything. And I knew, like, this tiny, tiny little fraction.
You knew enough and you had enough confidence to do that. Like you said, honestly, having that blind confidence and knowing just enough when you're that age is probably all that you needed.
I think it's the only reason it worked. So I was on the flight. I remember being like, I'm going to get a publishing deal.
You knew it.
And
it was gonna happen.
That's insane. That's insane to think.
No.
And I was in, literally the class was called, get this, How to Get a Publishing Deal 101.
See, you're just a big old manifester.
And I was sitting in there with my little notebook and we took the notes, whatever. It was taught by a guy named Woody Bomar, who's a big publisher in town for a long time. And anyways, he ended up wanting to meet with me after the courses were over that week. And so I went into his office and played a few, I'm sure, terrible songs.
But could you sing like you can now?
I don't know. I'm sure it probably wasn't great.
No, it was good. Yeah. I mean, you're beautiful with the voice of an angel. I think you have got a lot going in your favor.
Listen, I'm just glad TikTok wasn't around when I was 14 because I would not want that content following me around. But anyways, they ended up... it was Green Hills Music Group, and they were like, we want you to, you know, come back and be able to start co-writing and keep making trips. And so I signed my first publishing deal.
You just went back and forth
with them. And I went back and forth. Yeah. But I mean,
this is also why you're super detached from high school, because you're like, I already got a publishing deal.
Like, bye.
I am already like halfway in Nashville.
But I think it was a good balance. I think my credit to my family for keeping a good balance with that. My brother and I are really close. We're just a year apart, and he was the grade above me in high school, and like he obviously was living his normal high school life. I went to prom and I went to football games, and my parents were like, we're not like picking up and moving this family for, we don't even know.
We took you to Nashville for your birthday and you said you're going to get a publishing deal, but geez, we didn't know you were going to do that.
Yes. They're like, what?
It changed your whole life.
Yeah. They're like, what is a publishing deal and what is happening? So we took trips when we could. And my mom and I have a lot of amazing memories from doing that together. And really, I just counted down to when I could move. Okay. So.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage, for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So then you came with a publishing deal. Or it had it?
I actually already had the Cat Grab It.
Okay, so you had met them while you were coming to town, and then so you had another. Okay.
Yeah.
So now you're on your second publishing deal. Mm-hmm. Already super young, living in Nashville. You got it going on. You're going viral. And now you realize, I don't need nobody. I'm going to do this by myself. And then when the light bulb clicks and you realize you have that freedom, like, what do you do next? How do you keep it going?
You know, that's interesting. After a long way, I felt a lot of pressure.
Because that's the one that went like 100,000 overnight.
Yeah.
And a million views like overnight.
Yes. Long way was
crazy
really,
to wake up to being viral.
It was crazy. Like the notifications were going crazy. It was so much fun. And it was just so exciting. I had actually back then had a few different labels calling me and a few different publishing companies calling me and had a lot of exciting things going on, but I just felt this pressure to like keep that going. And as we all know, not every single song and every single video are gonna go completely viral the minute you post them. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
So it's like instead of chasing a number one necessarily, you're chasing another viral moment.
Yes.
Like, okay.
I think everybody started feeling like, well, if it's not viral, if that song's not viral, then it's not good enough. Or that if that song's not viral, it can't be the next.
So it's the same thing, just in a different way. If it's not viral, like if it's not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So it got to the point where, you know, following that up. Mm.
Then you're trying to chase what's viral instead of doing what you did in the first. This is the same story, just a different platform. Like the old generation before TikTok.
Yeah, it's the same thing that happened on radio.
Now you're just trying to like chase the viralness instead of the authenticness is why you went viral. So you get lost in the game a little bit, even though you're the boss.
It's interesting. It's really hard to go, okay, celebrate that moment and then move forward without beating yourself up for the next song or the next song that didn't do exactly what that one did, you know? And I think, I also think a lot of, I think a lot of labels are chasing that too.
Yeah.
I think it's really like, oh, what's popping off in this exact moment? We better like jump on that, but just then also wait for that person to go viral again. And so I think I just got to the point where, like you said, the authenticity, I just thought, okay, if I really love something, I'm going to post it. If I feel like it's really genuine to me and if I'm having fun sharing it, I'm going to share it. Mm. And I'm not going to let myself have the pressure of everything being viral all the time.
So
I really
so
just
pressure.
I had to let go of that. And then
how did you let go of
everything?
How did you let it go?
You know, I was so tired of feeling like I was trying to live up to
yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, and I wanted to just celebrate the fact that Long Way was what it was in that moment. And it was amazing. And I didn't want to feel like, I didn't want to let all the other moments be dampered because it wasn't the same as that. So,
wisdom right there.
A lot of life happens to, you know, again, I just was back to writing songs, working, two jobs on the side of writing songs and racing around I mean, I just got back into working the way that I was before and trusting that the next thing would come when it came.
Mm.
And,
the full surrender, man. Gotta love it.
And when I think around the time that I fully surrendered is when I got pregnant.
And then here comes a whole new life.
Yes.
Because, I mean, life sure ain't the same once you have a baby. And especially for you, how old were you when you found out?
I was 24.
That is so young. Oh my gosh. I was such a disaster at 24. You are so put together. Like, you are like, your brain is on so much straighter than mine. It took me so long to get my head off a swivel. But you just have been grounded.
My head was on a swivel that day for sure. Our girl was a surprise. Which
and then
is
you wrote
no
a great
secret.
Song.
She's the best surprise ever.
Right on time.
Yes. So again.
But your husband was a surprise too.
Yeah.
Because you were also super young when you met this adorable, precious. I mean, y'all are like the most good looking, adorable couple I've ever seen.
Thank you.
He's so cute. And y'all are so cute. He like enjoys TikTok and being fun with you. I feel like a lot of guys are resistant to that, but he's like singing your songs in the car.
Yes.
He's like giving it all he got, all he's got all the time. And when y'all did your pregnancy announcement and he cried, I'm like, oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. He was, well, again, we were so surprised. Like
you met him when you were 18.
Yes.
He was 25.
Yep. And then we got married. I think I was 23 when we got married. And then it was right, like literally right at our 1-year anniversary we found out about Isla, and we both, I mean, we were very shocked. So I found out by myself. He was on the golf course.
You're just feeling pregnant? Your boobs hurting?
No, I was really late. And I was like, I was so late that I was like, I need to take a test, but I'm not pregnant.
Like 40, like a couple weeks late?
Like a full week. And okay.
You're always on time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. And I remember buying the pregnancy test. I was like, you know, they're expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bought the pregnancy test and I was at the Walgreens checkout thinking, this is ridiculous. I'm not pregnant and I don't need this test. Yeah. I'm like, I'm spending $30 just to like make myself feel better, but I'm not pregnant. Well, sure enough.
Oh my God. Did you die?
Yes. So he's on the golf course.
But like, you're not trying to get pregnant. Are you actually trying not to get pregnant?
Yeah, we were trying not to
get pregnant. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I took the test. It was like 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. He's on the golf course. I think I didn't even think anything of it because I know in my mind, I know it's negative. Like I'm just doing this for peace of mind.
Yeah.
And it was very positive. Like it says, wait 3 minutes to read. I was like,
it was bright pink.
Bright.
Isla, she's coming in hot.
Yeah.
She's ready.
So it was the most surreal moment of my life. It was the best day ever. But I was in shock.
Did you have and listen, I am a mom and I love my daughter more than anything, but did you have a moment of like the most excitement / deep grieving of like, oh my God, everything changed in one moment?
You know what's wild? So I thought, again, we were not trying to get pregnant.
Especially because you're so young?
Yes. Well, so, and I thought that I would have that mm-hmm. feeling. I can't tell you how excited I was. Like, I truly everything instantly was just needing her to be okay and wanting her and everything, just like in a split second. And I think that's because I've always wanted this.
To be
like,
a mom.
Yes. Like I've never, this journey for me was never like, oh, well, I want this career. And then if it works out to be a mom, I'll be a mom. It was, I'm going to be a mom. I'm going to have a family and I have no idea how I can do both.
But I just
and
will.
I was nervous about how those things would go together. Mm-hmm. And I think I felt for a long time like they couldn't go together.
I totally get that feeling.
So that was something for me. That's the only reason we were trying not to be pregnant was because I felt like I couldn't
do them both.
Yeah. I felt like I couldn't be an artist. I felt like I couldn't be a songwriter and a singer and have all the things that I wanted if I did that.
Just because it's so demanding or because you think people wouldn't want to sign a mom?
The perception.
Because you're a mom? I know. I get that feeling. I was doing coming up as an artist and all these things before TikTok and all that. And I never felt like I could have a family or even get married, you know?
Don't like, get married.
It's going to mess your career
up. Don't talk too much about your husband because you have to look available.
Yeah.
Like to who?
And you just have to devote your whole life to this career. And that's the only thing you get to do is have this all demanding career, which is awesome, but like consumes your entire existence.
Yes. And get this. So what really struck me was, so I see the two pink lines and I'm processing all of this, like to me out of the blue, like I'm having to,
but you had a, that's what your out. Song is about. Out of the blue,
yes.
Long way.
No, yeah.
No.
Out of the blue, two pink lines.
There's so many great songs and lyrics.
So I, throughout my pregnancy is when I really was like, okay, how is this going to go for me? How am I going to balance this? And I started realizing like everything that we just talked about, that feeling that we both had as women in the industry. I'm like, if I'm a male artist and I find out I'm a dad, it just like
no
boosts me. Like everybody thinks, great, we'll like him even more because
now he's adorable.
Dad.
He's a dad. Look at him with his kid.
Yes. And I felt like, why can't, as female artists and as women singing songs that are supposed to relate to people, why can't we, like, I need as a fan and a listener to hear my story in these songs on the radio and on these playlists. And I as a fan was missing hearing stories about this phase of life. We're all doing it. We're all
getting married
or wanting to be married or
we're all in it.
Yeah.
We're all in this tornado of this.
Yes.
The dating, the marriage, the kids, the not kids, the infertility, the struggle, the raising, all of it. We're right here in the big, all of us.
Exactly.
In some form or fashion, we're all navigating.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's all about singing about your authentic experience. And I really did. I had a choice to hide my pregnancy.
God, I got chills. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks so bad.
I felt
like, want to cry.
I felt like I had a choice to, you know, not announce for a long time, mm-hmm. not tell anybody, not celebrate my motherhood.
And who are we hiding it from? Like, this idea that you can't be this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And truly, it's the best thing that I've ever done. And I thought, I just want to shout this from the rooftops. Like, I want to, if anyone is afraid to, like, have all of the things that they want just because they're worried about what people think of them, which is exactly where I was at.
Which we all feel that
way. I'm like, we need to, like, nip that in the bud.
Good. So you're like, I'm going to nip it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I just felt like there were, I mean, like you said, there's just so many, there were so many songs and so many lyrics that were just like started naturally coming out of me that was like, I need to write about this and I need to say this and we need to talk about this. And it just really, everything just came into focus. My purpose was, I just had a fuller purpose. I knew also when you have kids, like the biggest thing I've learned is like, I have so much less room for bullshit.
You got no extra bandwidth.
Like, no, it's like,
you got no room for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have,
whatever's taking up space better be adding to your life.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I care a lot less about stupid things.
Anything.
Yeah.
I care a lot less about anything. I'm like, yeah, literally like nothing even phases me. If I would have come in here and had like throw up on my shirt, I really probably would not have even cared.
I probably and have I used food to be freaked in my out hair about this, right so. Now.
Yeah. No, you look great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But I just, yeah. So I really got focused and I really got clear. And
you know, God makes no mistakes. And you, like you said, right on time, because mm-hmm. it was sooner than you wanted, just like meeting your husband was sooner than you wanted. But but you knew it was the right thing. And so you're like, well, dang it. Okay, I guess I'm going to do this. It's a little sooner than I was ready, but I must be ready because here it is.
Yeah.
And it's perfect timing.
And like you said, I mean, I fully trusted that God had me on this path that was exactly where I was meant to be in the moment. Mm. And I just, this is where I let go of, I need a record deal.
And I need it to follow a certain way.
Yeah. And I need it to happen on this timeline or else I'm quote unquote not successful.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my gosh, now I know, like I'm already successful. Coming home to a husband that I love and my beautiful, perfect angel daughter is like, that's success, right?
Yes.
So everything else that we do is just really to
fulfill your purpose, yes. The calling on your heart.
Exactly.
You feel called since a very young age to sing and write and put your music out there and put your voice out there. That's a calling. So like mm-hmm. you're answering that calling, but you're also letting God guide it.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like that is like the very hard moment of surrender mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, I'm just going to let this God, I'm just going to let you lead it. And I'm mm-hmm. just going to follow and I'm just going to trust it. And also, I think people need to see happy marriages. Like there is so much sadness out there and
that's
there is so
thing.
Many broken homes and there are so many people who are struggling to find good, happy people to like look up to yeah. you know, we all need some good examples that like, yes. it's cool to be married. It's great to like,
it's cool to be a mom.
It's cool to be a mom.
Yes.
It's not like this dead in like prison sentence where you're just locked away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think when you're pregnant, it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm so excited, but also everyone's telling me my life is going to end. And it's like, this is just the beginning for me. Like
yes.
this is me truly just, I can be all of these things. I can do them at the same time because also moms are great multitaskers. I'm like, yeah. oh wait, I can multitask better than I could before. And yes, I think, you know, not to say that we are perfect. We don't have a perfect marriage. We are not perfect
parents.
Y'all are
pretty dang cute though.
Listen, we have so much.
He's a happy guy.
That
Y'all
we're working
so
on.
Happy.
But like, that's the thing. We're happy.
I can tell.
We're happy.
Like, he's a big ball of smiles all the time.
He's pretty awesome. Honestly, I don't know why I'm the one who's like, has the TikTok profile because he really should be the one to have the fans.
What is he up to? What is his career and passion?
Oh, he's in sales.
Okay. So actually our good team, he knows how to,
well, yeah.
Like help you get, out there in a way that, well, like you said, he told you to get on TikTok.
He really, here's what his, my favorite thing about him is that he is just, he's my number one fan. So he really is just like, he's a big fangirl. And I love that he knows like really nothing about the music industry too, because he's always like, well, why not just do this or that? Or how come? And I'm like, well, I've never thought of it that way, but I guess you're right.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, and one more fun fact about you. When were you on American Idol?
Oh my gosh. Right before I got pregnant.
So what happened? And you made it kind of far.
I made it to Hollywood Week. I got through the first round of Hollywood Week. And I got cut on the second round in Hollywood.
What is that like being out there?
It's the most stressful thing I've ever done.
Really?
I was kind of a wreck. I just was so unlike It was so unlike anything I'd ever.
Did you have to like done. Room with a random person? Like, what do you no, do all
we
day?
Were
Katy Perry nice?
She was really cool. Okay. I was really fangirled over Katy Perry.
And it was Lionel Richie too, right? Mm-hmm. And Luke Bryan.
Oh. It was really fun. We did not have to room with people.
That's nice.
Because we were on the tail end of the COVID stuff. So we all got our own rooms, which I was really grateful for. But the audition was great because Colby got to be there for my audition. So yeah. I felt like I had some support in Nashville. And then I went to LA by myself. And
you stood in the long line and made it through all the people?
No.
You had a little fast pass?
Yeah. Well, they kind of, again, with COVID, they weren't doing like the big lines and stuff. So you had to go through a ton of audition phases, but it wasn't in person.
Oh, it was like on Zoom?
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe better. Who knows?
I mean, all of it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
The celebrity audition might be the most nervous I've ever been in my life.
And stay for them?
Yes. I don't know how people do this and look so cool, calm, and collected. I watch people and I'm like, anybody who can be on that show, like, I got to hand it to them because it's
a lot of pressure.
It's a hard format too. Like, I got to Hollywood and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be so hard. And Hollywood week, it's like boot camp week and everything. And I was not prepared. I had no idea what to expect, but it's a lot.
Like, what do you do? What is the boot camp like?
It's like no sleep and like you're not eating very well. Like you're just,
Do they forget to feed you?
You're waking up at like 5 a.m. and it's these really long days. And yeah, one day like my group got skipped for lunch and I was like, wait, I'm starving. Like, yeah, I might pass out on stage. But yeah, it's these really grueling hours. And again, you're out of your comfort zone. You don't have your support system there. And you're going on knowing that millions of people are going to watch this.
And judge you.
Yeah, the crowd in front of you is relatively small even in Hollywood. But like, I mean, the nerves are for the cameras and the fact that Katy Perry is sitting in front of you. Lionel Richie, like,
yeah.
This is insane.
Yeah.
And I had just never done anything like that. I also don't have a big belting voice.
You have that beautiful voice. You do, though. You have a different, it's like, big belting isn't the only, I feel like that used to be like, you felt you had to be a big belter, but like there's this velvety thing that you have that is so good.
Thank you. And I've learned to embrace and appreciate and not try to be something I'm not, but I felt a little bit of that pressure on the show. I think I was just like surrounded by so many incredible singers and I felt like, why am I even here? And yeah, it was just, I mean, it was a lot of
late. So how do you work through imposter syndrome when you're on the American Idol stage? You just say, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
just show up.
I just showed up and did my best. And that's the thing. I really was okay when I got cut because I wanted to go through, but I also knew that it wasn't the end all be all.
Would you have been like a little freaked out if you would have been the American Idol, like to go to overnight fame like that? That feels like that's a huge, huge, like maybe awesome, but slash terrifying moment.
Yeah. I think I was, I was just as nervous about getting cut as I was about going through.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, if I go through, I have to be better the next time or I have to, you know, again, live up or something. So I really put that in God's hands and was like, you know, every round, if I'm supposed to be on this journey till the end, final round, then I will be. But if I'm not, that's okay too.
So when you put something in God's hands, because I feel like I do this too, like, and I've recently, there's always next levels, but I feel like I have really gotten to a full surrender place with God. Mm-hmm. What is that like when you are saying, God, okay, here I am, an American Idol, freaked out of my mind, mm-hmm. but like, I'm just putting it in your hands. Like, how do you actually release it and put it in his hands?
That's a good question. It's hard.
How do you like say I'm letting go of my ego and just trusting in something bigger?
I think what I do, this might sound like too simple. I really just take account of everything that I already have. So I really just count my blessings. I know that sounds so trivial, but I really do just, I find such a comfort in going, oh my gosh, look at all the amazing things that are right here that are already mine, that if nothing else, like if this was it, I'm happy.
Oh, I love that. So I started waking up every morning because Oprah said she did this. So I figured it must work.
And if Oprah does it, we need to do it.
I mean, if Oprah does it, then there's a pretty good chance she's tried it a lot and it works. But yeah. She's like, every morning, first thing I do when I hit the ground is I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I walk Ruby at like 6 a.m. and the sun's always just starting to rise and it's like a pink sunset. And I'm like, thank you. That I see this pink sunset. Thank you for these birds chirping. Thank you that I have this adorable flip-flop dog that I love that is so cute and is getting me outside at 6 a.m. so I can feel the fresh air. And it's, you know, just like making yourself be thankful. And it really does. It always makes me have full body chills. Like I'm like, oh God, I need to remember all the great things instead of just starting off in the grind, immediately thinking about all the things that I don't have or that I need or that I'm chasing or that aren't working out.
Exactly.
It's that, a total different mindset.
It really has changed my life, honestly. I think if you come at things with, like out of abundance and like just so grateful for life, I think things just start coming to you because you're not so desperate for things to happen. But I do need to start the morning routine because how do people wake up before their kids? Like if Isla's sleeping, I am asleep until she wakes up. Like, I wish that I could get things done before this child is awake, but if
she's
sleeping
in. What time does she go to bed and what time does she wake
up? She's 7 to 7.
Oh, that's great.
Pretty consistently.
That's
great. But then sometimes she'll sleep until like 8.
Wonderful.
Which is amazing. But like, if she's sleeping until 8, I'm sleeping until 8.
Yeah, totally. Well, I used to do that until we got a dog, and then she had to wake up at 6 or else she'd pee on the floor. So, and I stepped in her poop one time, and that really does not make you thankful. That is not a thankful way to start the day.
No.
Okay. I want to talk to you all day. First off, you look like Jewel and Jessica Simpson. I've been trying to figure it out this whole time.
Oh
I'm like,
God.
Who are you reminding me of? And it's a combo of Jessica Simpson and Jewel. Do you get that all the time?
I don't think I've ever gotten either of those, but
really?
I love it.
Your side profile is more Jewel. Yes.
Okay.
And then front's a little more Jessica.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I need to go like do look up a mashup of their faces later and see.
Yes. And then you could do a mashup of their songs because y'all are all so similar and beautiful.
Love it.
Okay. I'm going to wrap up because I don't want to steal all of your day. And I'm so thankful that you came and got a babysitter and you're talking. See, you're multitasking. Look at you, mom.
Look at us multitasking.
I know. And I literally, like, as soon as I'm out of here, I'm darting to the school with the dog so I can pick up my daughter. It's just
how
you do it.
I'm rushing home to mine too. So we'll be doing the same thing.
But it was kind of cool because we're back in the iHeart studio and Bobby Bones kind of found you on TikTok, right?
Yes.
And he was a big champion. I love that when he champions people. Like when he finds someone, they're good when he's like found them. And he like was like, okay, Sarah Beth, coming on the show, playing your song.
It's one of the coolest things that's ever happened.
Really?
To me, career-wise, because Colby and I both, I mean, we're big Bobby Bones fans. Like I used to listen to the show every morning on my way to my office admin
desk job.
Yep. And every morning I was on the way at 6 a.m. just like wishing that I wasn't driving to this job.
And that you were on the show?
Yes. I would listen to people go on the show and just like dream about the day that I would be on the show. And then
I think you're a big manifester. I actually do.
Thank you.
And you get it sooner than you're ready for. Right on time.
Right on time.
Yeah, you're like, this is going to happen. I'm going to have this awesome husband. I'm going to have a great baby. I'm going to have a great career. I'm going to go to Bobby Bones show. And it just all kind of like, you feel it so deeply. It just gets here a little faster than you're ready.
Listen, things
you
just
were ready
happen.
For Bobby Bones, though.
I was not prepared. So he shared my TikTok video of Long Way, and I did not see it fast enough. Everybody started messaging me like, Bobby has the greatest fans, and all of his people started messaging me like, have you seen this yet? Have you seen this yet? He just shared your video. And we were freaking out. It was so much fun. And
you just had your baby too, right? No,
well, this was the first time I went on the show was with Long Way. So this was back.
So you've been a multiple repeater.
I think I have.
Okay,
yeah.
Like two timer.
Yeah.
So, look at you go.
Yeah.
Big wig.
So I was just absolutely, I was like starstruck. And then the day that I got to come in, I was so nervous. I was like, oh my, again, like so many people listening, it was so much fun though. Like I love everybody on the show, and it felt so like relaxed, and it was just a dream come true. It was really like a full circle.
And then you heard your song on the radio. It's like, yeah, all your dreams are coming. Isn't that the truth though? It's like your dreams do come true. They just don't always quite come true how you think they will.
Exactly.
You know, but they will come true. It's just, you can't expect them to be a certain way.
At this point, I'm just like, God just keeps kind of unfolding things, and I'm just along for the ride. And I'm like, I don't know what the next thing is, but I know that I'm just showing up, and we'll see.
Is that the key? Just show up, pour your heart into it, have action steps, like go where you feel called to go.
Yeah.
Do what you feel called to do, and just kind of let God work his magic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. That's what I do. I just kind of think that's the way.
Show up, do the work, give everything you got, and then just trust that God's guiding you.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That's what we're going to do. Then we die, you know? So it's like, we might as well try to just find some joy along the way.
And we never know when that's going to happen either.
Exactly.
It's like, we might as well just, that's, you know, we might
this
as well.
This whole game of life is really something.
Well, and we might as well share happy moments when they're happy. That's the thing, is I'm like, I'm not going to let, you know, I'm not going to worry about how I'm perceived. I'm just going to share and celebrate all the wonderful things that are in my life. And
encourage others to celebrate.
Yeah. I think if we can just see some good, happy, wholesome moments, I think it just makes us all feel a little bit better. Yes. And that's not to say it's perfect, but I think it makes us all feel like, oh, hey, like maybe we had a hard day, but it's also overall pretty great.
Yeah. Find the things to be grateful for.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. I always wrap up with leave your light. And it's basically, what do you want people to know?
Oh my gosh. I want people to know, wait, is it about me or just about
anything, you, your heart, whatever, just whatever you feel like, whatever comes into your brain, really.
Yeah, I guess I just want people to know that life is good and to look for the good.
Okay. And you have a song about that.
Yes. Pretty Good Living.
Uh-huh.
It is coming out on March 1st. So,
oh my gosh,
if you're listening to this before or after, you maybe can already find it or pre-save it. Or
you haven't put a single out in a minute.
It has been, well, it's been as old as my daughter. My last single was before she was born. So it's been about a year and a half since I released a song. And
that was right on time that you released.
Exactly. And it's been just the most transformative year in my career. Just
you said this was the best year of your life.
Yeah.
Because you had a daughter?
Because I had a daughter. And yeah, she really makes everything better. But it also, like I said, in my career, I was enjoying everything more. Mm. Everything has just had so much more clarity to it. The song, I love the songs I'm writing more. I love all the people that I work with more. I just love everything is just really just kind of come into focus. And so I recorded a full project last year, and we actually had it completely done, ready to go. And then I wrote Pretty Good Living, and people really connected with that song. And so
do you test all your songs out on TikTok before you decide?
That's the thing, is I got this project done thinking, okay, this is it regardless. Like, this is it for the songs that I am proud of, and this is the new me. And I actually only shared Pretty Good Living because I didn't want to share the other songs yet. And we were having fun singing it in the car, and I thought, well, this will be like a fun thing to post because I love this song. And I had no idea that everybody was going to love it so much. And so my producer called me, and he's like, you realize that we have to add this. Like, you realize that this needs to happen. And I was like, I know. So we like raced into the studio after the new year and just got this one done as quick as we could. And now it's obviously the first single. So
isn't that fun how that happens?
Yeah. It another just letting go of what I thought was going to happen and just going with the flow. And I'm just so excited about this because, again, it's just really celebrating, you know, all of the problems that we have and also how just sweet this stage of life is.
I love that.
And yeah, we love singing it, and it's just like
the soundtrack. Is it me and Colby?
Yeah. It's our family like soundtrack right now.
It really is. Nyla, she's a jammer too.
Oh, she loves it.
I love that you serenade her with your guitar and sing her songs. I'm like, she doesn't even know how cool her mom is.
Okay, she's getting to where, like, she now is, like, less interested in listening to me. Like, she's like, okay,
already,
mom.
She's like, mom.
She's like, can I have the guitar and maybe break it? That's what I want to do. She's very active now, so it's getting harder and harder to get her to sit still. But yeah, she loves the song, and we've been singing it to her for months now. And so anyways, my family's probably sick of it now, and everybody else needs to just go stream it so that they get to stop listening to it on repeat.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so everyone check out that project March 1st. What's it called?
March 1st is Pretty Good Living. Okay. And then we've got a lot more to come after that. So,
hey, Sarah Beth Tate, you're adorable. Thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Yay!
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.